Welcome to Manager Tools. Getting your goals from your boss, part three. Here we go. This chaos answers these questions. What if I don't have clear goals for my boss? How do I find out how my boss is going to measure me? How can I help my boss set goals for me and my team? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
All right, Mark. Well, we talked about the background work involved in getting goals from your boss, the preparation task, and now we need to talk about understanding your risk, because there is some risk, right?
Yeah. If there were no risk in changing to this way of doing things with clear measurements and so on, everybody would have done it, okay? But clearly, even if you're in a place with no measurements, you know, which is the vast majority of managers, it's not clear, the major measures are not clear, and even though that's frustrating for some, the fact that so few people try hard to make it clear ought to indicate to everybody, I mean, people in large numbers aren't that stupid. And one of my favorite quotes is, when there is chaos, someone is benefiting. So yeah, there's risk here if you have the conversation. Now, I would argue that so far what we've been talking about is how to figure out how to measure yourself. And in a way, certainly all this stuff is necessary to talk to your boss. But you could do this privately if you want. You could actually do this without ever talking to your boss and say, look, here's how I'm going to measure myself. And your boss would figure it out sooner or later. But if you didn't make a big deal out of it, you could spend 6 or 9 months refining your measures, learning from your team which ones are easy, which ones are hard. You could find out what measures you thought were easy to measure, but in fact take 2 hours a week, which is probably too much, and which you thought were hard, but actually there's an existing report somewhere that you can cobble together a proxy for something.
That's right. And then you could start reporting them to your boss, and you get feedback from your boss, or you hear something, might not be official Manager Tools feedback, but you'd hear something back, and you could refine your measures based upon what you hear back from your boss.
Yeah, but I would even say, even before that, Mike, just do it yourself. If you're worried about what your boss might do, okay, there's nothing we've said so far that would keep you from doing this for yourself. And if you have no relationship with your boss and your boss doesn't pay attention to what you do and you're worried about your trust of them and so on, you could do all this stuff yourself and say, here's what my measures are going to be. I'm not going to be right. And maybe it'll take me 6 months to a year to get them right. But then in the future, I'll be able to say, here are the things I've done. And probably your boss will find out when you send them your self-review, if in fact your boss asks you for that. Many don't, but it potentially could be a big plus for you if after a year of working on this stuff and not talking to your boss because you don't have a relationship with him or her, suddenly your boss gives you a bad review or something and HR's involved and they say, you know, your boss is saying this and this and this, really concerned about this and this. And you say, well, hey, listen, no offense. I've tried to talk to my boss about measures. He hasn't. Here are the measures that I've measured. Okay, let's have a discussion about whether or not these measures are reasonable. And if they are, look at my track record. And if you want, why don't you use these measures to compare me to other managers who report to my boss? Now, I'm not saying that HR is going to take your side, but it might get you a situation where you could move within the company to another boss, which may have been a good idea all along anyway.
Right.
And if you're somebody who likes to win, why would you want to play a game where there are no scores involved? Other than a vague one at the end of the year. That's what an old boss of mine said. Look, if you like to win, you got to have a measure. We take that for granted in sports that we see, but there are measures. The fact is there's some risk here. Your boss may be just fine with neither you nor he fixing your goals. Think about it. From his perspective, from her perspective, without them fixed, they don't have to do the work to fix them. and they still get to judge you somehow, somewhat. And it's going to be subjective. And what's funny about that is that nobody ever really argues about that. It's silly, but it's dumb, but it's true.
Yeah. Once you fix them, though, then, you know, his or her role is fixed, right? And the subjectivity is less valuable.
Yeah, exactly. So he has to actually pay attention to these measures. And because your work rolls up to him, now you've essentially given his boss a way to measure part of his organization, your part of his organization. And you now have a little bit of a defense against your boss's short-term requests that you take your eye off the ball that you've agreed to. Once your boss says, yeah, these are the measures, when he comes down and says, well, I want you to do X, you're like, well, okay. And I know, and of course, everybody has to know there's a line in your job description which says, and anything else the boss deems reasonable. And so there are bosses that overload that particular line in your official or unofficial job description, rather than just saying, I'm really busy to your boss, if he or she comes to you with something that's fairly well off kilter or out in left field, you could say, hey, look, just to be clear, I think that's going to take 6 hours a week. And when I look at the stuff I'm doing, help me understand what part of these are not important enough, or should I keep doing them? Now, you don't want to go to that well too often. The smart thing, I think, to do in that situation is come up with the measures. Then when your boss throws you something out of left field, you do it. But because you've been sharing your measures with your team, you'll be able to delegate something that you've been doing to your team, and that frees up the time that you need to get done the thing the boss wants you to do, even if probably you don't think it's linearly related to the things that you believe contribute to your value to the organization, which ought to be, you ought to be measuring those things.
Yeah. You're just getting a short overview of the delegation model. That's really where to, that's,
yeah, the delegation cascade. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So folks, don't take what we're saying here as license to go tell your boss, oh, I got these other measures. They're going to suffer. Therefore,
yeah.
It might work once or twice, but it gets old pretty quickly.
Yeah. And from your perspective, if you fix these measures, you'd better meet them. Because the fact is, when your measures aren't fixed, there's probably no question that a lot of us don't meet whatever's in anybody's head. But because everybody knows they're all in everybody's head, nobody holds anybody accountable. I mean, greatest management principle in the world, right? The things that get measured are the things that get done. If you suddenly started getting measured on 5 parts of your job, even though you thought there were 8 parts of your job, I promise you would get better faster at the 5 that are being measured, period. Or if not, you're going to have a lot of political headwinds to go through. And so you better meet them. And if you don't, again, there's a chance that your boss's subjective opinion of you is all that matters at the end of year review. So relative to risk, our guidance is that it depends on your relationship with your boss. If you trust her, do it. If you don't, be careful. And again, if you don't and decide not to brief your boss, you can still use this work to guide your decisions and measure yourself over time. If you don't trust your boss, do the work, determine your metrics, keep it to yourself. And again, as defense against the potential that your boss is capricious enough to threaten you, fire you, attempt to put you off track on your career, whatever it might be. And for the record, Mike, this is interesting. I was somewhere recently. So he says, you know, you're always talking about career. And, you know, I don't really want a career. I said, well, okay, but you want a job, right? He says, yeah, I want this job. And she says, I like this job. I want to stay in this job. And Mark, I'm willing to get better at it. I don't mind, but I really like this job. And I said, well, okay, this job is your career. And she said, no, it's not. And I said, well, would you like to keep it for 20 years, assuming who your boss is and so on? She says, yeah. I said, well, at the end of your life, when you look back, aren't you going to talk about your to your family and friends about your career? And your career is a succession of jobs you have, and this is going to be the most significant part of your career? She says, yeah, that's not what you mean when you say career. And I say, well, okay, I thought it was, but what do you think I mean? What do I actually mean when I say career? She said, people getting promoted multiple times. I said, I'm sorry, that's just not so. When I say career, I mean the entirety of your professional life experience. Your career could include the military or the Peace Corps or a volunteer organization or teaching, followed by entrepreneurial ventures, followed by a big company, followed by more entrepreneurial, followed by your spouse or you making a great deal of money and starting a venture capital fund. And all of that is your career. not just the big company trying to climb the ladder. That is one form of career. But I don't think there's any guidance we've ever put out that we've said this before, that we would ever say, oh, this doesn't apply in small companies, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't think so.
We recommend a two-person company, a CEO and her admin have one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and delegation and so on.
I guess according to this person, my career is over because I don't expect I'll ever get promoted again.
Yeah,
so I guess I'm done.
Yeah. Well, thanks,
everybody. We'll see you.
Yeah. I might get demoted, though, if you become my boss. That would be.
I guess it is possible to go down.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You never know. Yeah. Yeah. So, as we said a couple of times, you don't have to do this with your boss if you don't trust her. But, Mike, let's continue, though, and talk about, okay, if you do trust her enough, or if you're willing to broach the subject, the next thing you got to do. And I could have just said set up a meeting with your boss, but I want to be more clear about this because I am amazed. And it actually happens at Manager Tools as well with some of my directs and me. People say, hey, can I have a half hour of your time? And I now have learned to respond back, no. And guess what happens when you say no? They say, well, it was about X. I said, so I had to say no before you're willing to admit what it was about? So in other words, it benefited you to not tell me what you wanted my time for. You were expecting me to choose part of my most precious resource, my time, and give it to you, unknown of what the value was to the organization or to me or anything else. So your knowledge of what you want to talk about is more important than my knowledge about it. And so therefore, you actively want me not to know. Now, look, I trust you, but why wouldn't you share it with me? So, folks, request some time with your boss, but don't make it a blind request. Don't surprise your boss with an impromptu request. Don't just show up in her office. Don't just say, I want a half an hour. Don't go to their admin. Don't put an appointment on their calendar that's blank. Meet with Joe, okay? Do your background work. Do some prep on what your measures ought to be. And then send your boss an email asking for a half an hour to discuss what your job metrics and goals should be.
Yeah, a meeting to highlight to your boss that you know you ought to have goals and metrics and your boss hasn't given them to you and may not know what they are. You know, a meeting to share that with your boss is generally not a good idea.
Not a good thing.
Yeah, embarrass your boss. That works well.
My unofficial name for this is the Stackhouse Grazing Rights Rule, which is a line from The American President where one of the aides comes to the president as he's leaving and says, hey, Mr. President, Senator Stackhouse, I think from Wyoming or Montana, wants just 5 minutes if he can get it. And he says, did he say what it's about? No. Well, I'll tell you, no. The answer is no, because I'll tell you, if it's Stackhouse, he wants to talk about grazing rights. Right? So again, Stackhouse, a senator, has put a blind request in front of the president. And first of all, the president says no. And second of all, he says no because he knows what the guy wants to talk about. Because if the guy really was confident about what he wanted to talk about, he'd have told the aide what he wanted to talk about with the president. So don't do that. Bosses hate that. Now, you might think, wait a minute. I do that to my boss all the time, and he doesn't mind at all. No. There's a difference between him giving you the time and him not minding at all. Trust me. We hate it. Okay? Do people the courtesy of letting them know what it's about.
And it's more than that, though, right? It's not only letting them know what it's about, but sending them some advanced material so that they know what you know, right?
Yeah. Attach to your email a Word or a PowerPoint document outlining the areas you looked into, right? Some of your raw data, the job description, reviews, emails, whatever. Include some slides or notes. Hey, look, it's a half an hour meeting, no more than 5 slides, okay? You know, that talk about your suggestions for areas to be considered. That's all you really need. And of course, we've said before, there are bosses who want to be talked to first, and there are bosses who prefer to read first. Mike is an example of somebody who says, I don't want to have a meeting with you without you sending me something in advance. That's fine. If you do that to me, if I'm your boss, you don't have to send something in advance, but you have to tell me what we want to talk about, okay? And if I like what you tell me, I'll read this stuff that you give me. Mike wants to read it before the meeting. Mike's way is probably slightly better, but half the world does it my way, and we're not going to eliminate that overnight.
we could argue whether it's better or not. It's different. It might be better for me. It might not be better for the organization because I'm investing a whole lot of time that may not be necessary.
Really? Yeah. So. Well, here's the simple answer. You always send the stuff and guys like me won't read it, but guys like Mike will. Mike's more analytical, more logical, more rational, more smarter. There's a good phrase, more smarter. And so what you do is you send it and you assume, well, first of all, if you trust and know your boss, you ought to know whether or not he or she would read it, but you assume they haven't read it. And you go into the meeting prepared to go over this stuff. You don't send an email to a boss that it has some attachments, particularly just the day before, and then go in and say, well, I've assumed you've read everything, so let's get right at the bottom line. It's like, and the boss, I promise you, what the boss will say is, are you crazy? Even if he or she started to read it, they're going to be like, what, you send me stuff? I'm expected to read it to prepare for a meeting I didn't have on my calendar until yesterday? Even if you give them a week's notice, don't expect it. So you send the information. You hope they read it. If they don't, you go into the meeting as if they didn't. And if they then brush you aside and say, I read your stuff. I know what I want to say. Fine. Now we're saving time. The other point, the other side of it is you assume they've read it. And you go in and say, well, so here, what do you think? And they go, yeah, I haven't read it. Now you look like a fool. I mean, I'm sorry you do. That's my opinion anyway. All right. So now, when it comes to the meeting itself, folks, you got to be willing to not expect answers. You got to ask for help rather than a bottom line. Mike, how many times does this happen where people come in and they just expect you to have a decision? Just like, okay.
All the time.
Mike and I are both okay making decisions based on the information we have. We don't need to boil the ocean every time to get to the bottom line. But I can't tell you the number of times people just say, well, what's the answers? Well, I don't know. In fact, we have a podcast about that. You're not required to know all the answers. And you're definitely not required to know all the answers right now.
Well, particularly if somebody's asking me about a decision relative to what they should do in an area for which they're responsible. It's like, well, okay, let's talk about what do you think you should do? Let's talk about it.
If I trust you, I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it up on my own and then have you not like two of the measures and then have there be tension. So.
Right. Usually they explain what they think they ought to do and you go, okay, that's good. Okay, do that.
That's good.
Good.
There you go. Do that. Yeah, that's why the manager's favorite letter in the English language ought to be the letter C, right? Do that.
Even if it's not perfect, right? They'll learn.
Yeah. Don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. Right. So when you meet with your boss, folks, ask for help in figuring this out versus asking what the approved solution is or should be. If you ask for the approved solution and she doesn't have it, it makes her look bad, probably, in her mind. It's possible your bosses can consider what you've done as a starting point to the discussion or the process of really, quote, really figuring it out. And really, from their perspective, all the work that you've done, this is just a starting point. So, some questions you can ask to get the discussion going, even after you've done all your work and you feel pretty confident that you've got 80% of the solution worked out. Ask some questions to your boss and be willing to take some notes. And they're pretty simple. What results do you expect of me? What are the measures you are or are going to compare me against? What objective standards exist? And folks, maybe you know what they are, but maybe you only know what you know, and there are six that you think exist, but your boss knows there are eight. And when she says there are eight, you say, well, that's good because there are two here that I didn't know I was being measured against. And then you could also ask, what subjective things do you look at to round out your evaluation of me? And I got to tell you, the subjective thing, part of the reason we want you guys to have clear metrics is because of the vast number of managers and directs in the world. And even if you're a manager and we're talking about your director, your boss, where behavioral tendencies are different, and we've got a high D boss with a high C direct. And the subjective evaluation of that, if it's left unchecked, can be the high D says this high C is a stick in the mud, you know, a perfectionist, can't pull the trigger, can't make a decision. If you turn it around and the high C is the boss, the perfectionist is the boss of the high D, the take no prisoners person, says, you know, too quick to the trigger, goes off half cocked. you know, willing to run roughshod over people, you know, creates difficult situations with his colleagues and so on. And I got to tell you, your boss can handle a lot more of that behavioral tendency difference if there's clarity between the two of you about what your job is. And there's just too many cases where we're left to subjectiveness and managers aren't well trained and they basically manage people based on how they want to be managed. And the end result is if you're different than them, they don't like what you do because you're not like them. So be careful about that. Ask about subjective stuff.
Yeah, good point. And of course, you're going to ask these questions and you're going to get perfect, precise answers to all your questions.
Yeah, of course.
Because they have all the answers.
Yeah, you're not going to get a perfect answer. Look, I think what you should expect is further discussion. So don't get let down that it's not a one and done kind of meeting. It usually isn't. Expect some dithering, some, well, okay, this looks good, maybe some more and whatever. And you may have to push to get another meeting to pin it down. And your boss may not let you pin her down. And if that's the case, you'll have to accept that you're going to have to measure yourself with it. And maybe you won't make a big deal out of it to your boss, but every once in a while she'll ask. So regardless of what your boss does, you'll be better able to make choices about what to work on. And even if your boss doesn't agree with all of them, you'll be better able to defend those decisions about how you've spent your time and how you've applied the resources of your team and so on to the needs of the organization.
Right. And that's fine, right? Even if you only reach 80%, you know, agreement on what your goals and objectives are, or 80% certainty maybe in terms of what they are, man, 80% is a lot better than zero.
Yeah. And I've said this an awful lot, and I think a lot of people don't get it. And it's only because to some degree, nobody talks about it. And I haven't figured out exactly the right way to say it, a pithy way to say it. But your organization is an organism. It's a part of an organic ecosystem, the ecosystem of the world in which it resides. So if you're a technology company, you're in the technology industry, you're also a business, and you serve society. Okay. Your organization, particularly those that are profit-seeking organizations or who use profit as a proxy for health and growth, if you're organic, if you're an organism, one of the rules of organic life, carbon-based life forms, which your organization is, that's why it's called an organization and not a mechanization. If you're a carbon-based life form, in order to survive in your ecosystem, you have to seek stasis within your environment. You have to fit into your environment. The equivalent is, if it's cold, humans put on coats when they go outside. You have to adjust, and your environment gives you feedback. Your organization serves society in some way with services or products, knowledge, what have you. And society provides you feedback in the form, in many cases, of revenue. And you then turn that into either positive margins or negative margins. If the external world is good at giving you feedback, and we all know that it is because in terms of the way you count it, which largely is revenue or dollars coming in, and if it is good at giving you that and you get a lot of it, and gosh, when we launch a product, we all sit around going, okay, how many are we going to sell? You know, you're clearly desperate for feedback from the external world. If that external feedback exists, and of course it does, we have to have an internal environment that is fairly well in stasis, in agreement, in concert with the external environment, which is your customers, your competition, the economy, the marketplace, and so on. If you have an internal system where measures are unclear, where goals aren't set, where feedback is not communicated, you're going to end up failing in the long run because the internal processes of your organization are out of sync with the external relationship that your company has with the marketplace. The marketplace will give you feedback. Either we give you money for stuff or we don't. But if internally we don't know what we're going for and we don't talk about what we're going for and we don't talk about when we're off track and when a quarterly sales number goes down, your competition, I'm sorry, the marketplace is saying, you guys are off track. That's what quarterly income is about. That's what annual income is about. You made less this year because you're off track. You're not in concert with what the marketplace wants. If we have an internal system where we all think, oh, it's just subjective, it'll be fine. really what we're doing is getting lucky and we're leaving money on the table, because if we got aligned more, there would be more of what the external marketplace wants and less of what it doesn't want. So keep that in mind always. You've got to mimic, as a manager, the external ecosystem, the customers and the competition in the marketplace. Otherwise, your organism is inefficient and that's not good. And in this particular case, if you think the risk is worth it of talking to your boss, I definitely think the process is worth it. But if you think the risk is worth it, figuring out how you're going to be measured with your boss is certainly a tactical win for you. And it's definitely a strategic lesson you won't forget. Without metrics you can point to, your success may come down to the kind of relationship your boss lets you have with him. And in our minds, that's not a foolproof plan.
Definitely not. All right, my friend. Thank you.
You bet, partner. Anytime.
All right, man. We'll see you later. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. So long.
This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.